All right, good to be together with you all. When I said we rejoice with those who rejoice and we weep with those who weep, I didn't know in a few minutes I was going to be the one doing both, right? But I appreciate your patience with me in that regard. This past Tuesday, our daughter Natalie went in for, to have a planned C-section for the birth of Claire, who we thank God for. And when the plan was for 10 a.m. She got there at Virtual Voorhees at 8 a.m. And I guess shortly after being there, she was kind of alerted to the fact, Natalie, you're getting bumped. And she got bumped for a good cause, a woman whose birth was, in distress. And then she got bumped again for good cause and bumped for another. And you realize, it's when we're connected to the medical process that we realize what all of you in the medical community, carry crisis to crisis to crisis, next one. And so after being bumped several times, she eventually gave birth to Claire a little bit after 4 o'clock. And by the time they got settled in a room, Caleb's parents and Greta and I, we got in there to see them at about 7:30, right? And for me, when it comes to, I'm focused more on my baby, not on her baby. Like, I know she had a baby and I'm going to get to know my granddaughter, but when I'm in there, I'm looking, how's my baby doing? How's she coming through the process? But we got to spend about a half hour there with them. And on the way home, on about probably close to 8 o'clock on Route 73 North, we're coming back and we were like, what is this haze? What are we looking at here? What in the world? It's not a factory. And we came to one of the lights on 73, and I, quick Googled, nearby fires, and up came this thing about fires in Canada. And I said to her, this thing of fires in Canada. And we both said, well, obviously, it's not that. This isn't smoke coming from Canada, right? Until we realized we were wrong, right? And that indeed, on the news that night, it was all about the smoke coming from Canada. And then on Wednesday, and I'm not telling you anything you don't know if you live in this area, by Wednesday, we were in the thick of it, right? I mean, baseball games being canceled and airline flights being canceled. Why? Why was that happening? Because you can't hide the evidence of a real active burning fire. We've been studying as a church, if you're visiting today, a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to Christians who were in Thessalonica. We call it 1 Thessalonians because he wrote two of them. And we're coming near the end of the letter today, and Paul's going to say, what is true physically with fire has to be true spiritually with fire, with the fire of the Holy Spirit. The fire of the Holy Spirit burning in our lives should be evident. Now, he's going to let us know we can limit it and we can hinder it. How do we limit and hinder the evidence of a burning fire? We do that by seeking to smother it at its source. And Paul's going to say, that's exactly what I don't want you to do. Don't smother the fire of the Holy Spirit at its source. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19, we read these words, kind of where we left off. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We believe this is your living word, as we'll see today, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And we ask you to help us to receive it. Spirit of God, we need you to help us to receive your word. So that's our desire now, in the name of Jesus. Amen. The Apostle Paul came to faith in Christ about 5 years after Jesus was on this earth. Jesus Christ walked this earth, right? His ministry, public ministry, was about 3 years. He was crucified, rose again from the dead, spent 40 days with his disciples, and then ascended into heaven. Approximately 5 years later, he appeared to Saul and brought him to faith in Christ. About 15 years after that, the Apostle Paul is writing this letter to the Thessalonians. What Paul is saying to them is really built on words that Jesus spoke 20 years earlier. When Jesus said what? In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5 and verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." In John's Gospel, chapter 1, the very beginning, he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." He's speaking about the eternal relationship of God the Father and God the Son. The Trinity is quite a mystery to us, but Scripture is clear with it. One God, three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And that eternal Son of God came to this earth in human form. And we read in John's Gospel that we beheld him. We beheld his beauty, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, this incredible grace and glory of God in Jesus. And John says what? "Many rejected him, but to those who receive him, they have the right to become children of God." So when we come to faith in Christ, the fire is lit. When we come to faith in Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, Jesus, takes up residence in us. We receive him, and we receive who? We receive the one who is filled with grace and truth and glory, and it's beautiful. Jesus says, "You cannot snuff out my life. Don't smother it. Don't hide it. I'm alive in you." When Paul is writing now 20 years later to the Thessalonians, Paul is going to be speaking to them about the fire, the ministry, right, of the Holy Spirit. And he says that it is the Holy Spirit who keeps that fire burning. That's why we read in verse 19, "Do not quench the Spirit." It's the Spirit that is going to keep it burning. The first thing I want us to see this morning, I don't have any words hangers, but just some statements. The first thing is we need to be excited about the fire, the ministry of the Holy Spirit in us. He does so much more in us than we even realize. Maybe because I stepped on that thing. I don't know. I stepped on that thing. Maybe that was the problem. Anyhow, you know, I'm still alive. All is well, right? But the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and to be excited about his ministry in us. In Matthew's Gospel, John the Baptist says what? "I'm baptizing you with water, but the Holy Spirit is going to baptize you with fire." The Holy Spirit is going to baptize you with fire. Are we good? Want me to do something? Am I messing up? That's whatever it may be. I should fiddle around with those people that are watching online, you know, pretending I'm talking and they're missing it, right? But anyhow, the Holy Spirit, I'm going to leave you right there and we'll see how everything goes. The Holy Spirit's ministry to us, he's a fire. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon us like tongues of fire, right? Us being the early church. It's a terrific picture because it's the warmth of the Spirit. It's the glow of the Spirit. It's the burning passion of the Holy Spirit that lives in us saying, keep loving Christ. Keep following Christ. Keep getting closer to Christ. Keep the fire burning. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would come. In John chapter 14, he said to his disciples, in John 14 and verse 16, right? He said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you." The Holy Spirit comes in us. When it says those who receive Christ, they become the children of God. One of the evidences of that is the Holy Spirit comes and indwells us as what? He tells us, our helper. And he becomes a contract, a guarantee, right? In Ephesians, we're told that the Holy Spirit living in you is a guarantee that what you are is eternal. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, we read, "In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory." Maybe you've come here today and you're saying, "Man, I have... My journey with the Lord has been up and down and all around, and I've victory and failure and victory and failure." Listen to me. You're still all his, 100%. The Holy Spirit came into you. He is a guarantee that you belong to God and always will. It's one of his ministries. The Holy Spirit gives us gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12, we're told there's many different gifts, but there's one Holy Spirit. And then we're told the Spirit gives some the gift of knowledge, some the gift of teaching, some, and it's all done by the Holy Spirit. Another of the ministry of the Holy Spirit that I think the longer you journey, the more you appreciate this is in Romans chapter 8, his interceding on our behalf, right? In Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, Paul says, "In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." That groaning comes in all different ways, right? There are times where I've come back to, you know, coming to the Lord again, having failed in a way that I've failed before, and I don't even know what to say. I just, "Oh, God, you know my heart, Lord. Lord, you know my heart. Created me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me, Lord." Now, the Holy Spirit's doing all the interceding, right? Maybe you're just discouraged. You're worn out. You're beat down, and you find yourself just, "Oh, God, I don't even know what to say." The Holy Spirit does the talking for you. It's amazing, right? The interceding of the Holy Spirit. So many gifts of the Spirit. We could spend days upon days just talking about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit's ministry to us. But the one that I want to zero in on is the one that I believe Paul is attaching his words to. And that is the ministry of the Holy Spirit with what? His teaching ministry, his guiding ministry. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples in John 14. He said in verse 26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I said to you." Remember, when we're talking about the Gospel of John, for example, you know, I'll hear people say today, "Well, you know, we got to remember these were just written by, you know, fallible men and all." The Gospel of John wasn't John sitting there going, "You know, to the best of my memory, you know, this is," he is sharing from his natural human time with Christ, but he also has the ministry of the Holy Spirit that is teaching through him. And it's that guidance that I think connects 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19 with verse 20, right? "Do not quench the Spirit." How's one of the major ways we do? "Do not despise prophetic utterances." Do not turn away from the ministry, the voice of the Holy Spirit. And that's the second thing, really. We need to be excited about the Holy Spirit's ministry and fire in us. But secondly, Paul focused on the Holy Spirit being God's voice to us through his word. What did Jesus do when he was leaving? He said to his disciples, "You're my witnesses. Go forward and do what? Make disciples, teaching them what? Everything I've told you." The Holy Spirit's going to bring it to memory, and the Holy Spirit also was going to do what? Inspire them with further truth, right? Matter of fact, what we see from the New Testament, we could see it put together, is that for the new church, God established a group of apostles and prophets for the new church. Now, you may see a church today and the person, you know, says, the pastor of the church is the apostle, J.D., Simpson or whatever, and they're using the title. They may be using it because the word apostle means messenger. But as far as Scripture is concerned, there are no more apostles in the sense that Paul speaks about to the Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 2, what does he say in verse 19 of Ephesians chapter 2? So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's whole household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. So God gave this ministry. Chuck Swindoll says this: these prophets had special spiritual authority. They were the mouthpieces of God's Spirit in these new communities of faith that still had no New Testament scripture to consult as the final authority in matters of faith and practice. Matters of faith and practice is another one thing, another way of saying what I believe and how I live, right? And that's, we know that the scriptures now are filled. What we refer to as the Old Testament, the New Testament, the completion of God's word that is our authoritative guide. But for them, they didn't have them yet. They had what? They had the apostles and the prophets who were declaring to them through the ministry of the Holy Spirit being the voice of God. We see evidence of that in Acts chapter 13. For in Acts chapter 13, we read in verse 1, now there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers. It lists some of them. It says, eventually the Holy Spirit said to them, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul. So we have this ministry of the apostles and the prophets. God also surrounded them with incredible miraculous signs, right? We know that because the writer to the Hebrews tells us that, specifically referring to that original group of apostles and prophets that God established to be his voice while the New Testament was being, you know, delivered. What do we read in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3? How will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? The salvation, the gospel that's been shared with them. After it was at the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard, God also testifying with them both by signs and wonders and by various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. God surrounded these apostles and prophets with incredible miraculous signs that could not be explained away. To do what? To identify that they had the authority to be the mouthpiece of the Holy Spirit. The problem here in Thessalonica was what? That the young church was having some of these prophets speak the word and some of Paul's words as an apostle, and they were saying, why should we believe that? And Paul says, you don't quench the Spirit by rejecting the authority of the Holy Spirit exalting God's word. Now, he goes on to say, that doesn't mean you believe everybody who says they're a prophet, right? He said there in verse 21, examine everything carefully, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from every form of evil. In John's letters later, 1 John 4, he says, no, there's going to be a lot of false prophets. You hear somebody say, you know, that to them, I'm a prophet of God. Well, is he saying what Jesus said? Is he saying what the apostles said? You know, is his message standing the test, right? So we want to be excited about the Holy Spirit's ministry in us. We want to recognize that one of the primary ways that he does is by being the voice of God that exalts God's word. And so that leads us to our third and last point is this. Therefore, don't quench the Spirit by despising God's word, by ignoring it, by turning away from it. It's the inspired word of God. Peter says in his second letter that when you hear somebody saying, well, these were just a bunch of men who like were... Peter says that's not the reality of it all. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Now, Peter's not saying there aren't false prophets. What he's saying is the prophetic word that we hold today, the inspired word of God, It was the voice of the Holy Spirit exalting God's word. So we're told, don't quench it. Don't smother the Holy Spirit. Don't suppress the Holy Spirit. Don't extinguish the voice of the Spirit. The point is this, you can be saved. You could be a child of God, a Christian, who has the Holy Spirit living in you as a guarantee that you have eternal life and will be forever in God's kingdom, and yet you are living in a way where you are smothering the fire of the Spirit in you. There's numerous different ways. You can smother the fire of the Holy Spirit voice by seeking a substitute voice, some other means that makes you feel close to God rather than the voice of the Holy Spirit through his word. For example, Paul says to the Ephesians, right? Be not drunk with wine, be filled with the Holy Spirit. You're looking for a substitute experience. When I shared this before, when I became the pastor of Faith Baptist Church, I was, 28 years old and began there in 1990. My very first Sunday, a woman came up to me. She said, I haven't been coming to the church, but I figured I'd give you a shot. And so I want to ask you, do you think God has given us marijuana to feel closer to him? And I said, no, I don't. I don't believe that. I believe that God wants you to be close to him through the ministry of the Spirit. All right, I gave you your shot. I won't be back. I'm not coming. And I said, boy, I wish you would let me sit and talk with you, because the Holy Spirit is so much better than marijuana or alcohol or whatever. The Holy Spirit, when you're grieving, when you're broken, when you're hurting, he'll intercede for you. The Holy Spirit will guide you. He'll lead you to Psalm 34:18 that says that the Lord, is close to the brokenhearted and he rescues those who are crushed in spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead you to the fact that Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. The Holy Spirit will lead you to the truth that God can make all things work together for good to those who love Christ. The Holy Spirit is the means to hear God's voice and get close to God. Don't choose substitutes, whatever it may be. Now listen, singing is not a substitute. We're singing and praising God. It's lifting our hearts as we exalt his word. Nature, when I sit out there sometimes on the lake and just say, man, I just feel close to God here. Yeah, general revelation is declaring to me, the glory of God. They are all means of leading us to the Spirit's voice through the word. Sometimes we can quench the Spirit through seeking to justify something else in our lives. In other words, we suppress the Holy Spirit's voice because of the flesh. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul says to the Corinthians, hey, don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? If you're getting involved with a prostitute, you are, in essence, quenching the Spirit. You are connecting the Spirit to that, and it's not supposed to be. You've heard me say Galatians 5:18 again and again. The flesh is at war with the Spirit. The old flesh, the sin nature in me, constantly wants to smother the fire of the Holy Spirit. It's not going to stop until I'm with him. My old nature is going to want to extinguish the fire of the Holy Spirit. We got to be careful, right? Matter of fact, it's not just, when you hear that passage, don't just think immorality, is a sexual thing. It can be greed. It can be gossip. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Oh, what are you talking about? Sexual immorality? No. Paul says, I'm talking about when you talk mean to each other, when you gossip, when you tear each other down. Right? Ways that the flesh can take us. But mainly what? We quench the Holy Spirit in the way that Paul's concerned by our pride. When we elevate our voice to be heard louder than the Spirit's voice. Right? In Acts chapter 8, there's a man named Simon. If you write that down, if you want to read the story and don't know it. And Simon is a magician, and he's amazing. And the apostles come in the power of the Holy Spirit, and wow, It's incredible, and all the crowds are listening. And Simon gets out his wallet and says, hey, how much? I want that. How much for me to be able to buy that power that the Holy Spirit has? And what he's saying is, I want to be able to use the Spirit's voice to exalt my voice. In other words, I want my voice to be heard. I was watching, looking at on social media recently, and there was an individual who I know. I know them as a young Christian adult. They went to school with my kids, and everything I knew about them then was evidence of genuine faith in Christ. But as they were sharing on social media that they're rethinking a lot of that. And one of the things they started saying, and it always gets my attention, is they started saying, you know, I used to believe these things about some of these issues and what's right and what's wrong. And then you begin to realize that these things were only written by men. It's going to start to move away from the voice of the Spirit. And the person went on to say, and I realize as an adult now, what I've been missing all along is my inner voice. That inner voice, that voice of self that I need to pay more attention to. And I stopped right there. I just started praying for this individual. Because your inner voice, unless it's being guided by the Spirit's voice, your inner voice isn't taking you anywhere that's going to be profitable, right? My inner voice is the flesh that lusts, fights against the Spirit. And you know, when we think about the Trinity, you know, it's mysterious, but what we know some things, right? The Son exalts the Father. The Spirit exalts the Son within the Godhead. None of them are exalting me. None of them, Father, Son, or Holy Spirit, are saying, Vince, our ministry to you is we want to lift up your inner voice, and we want to help you hear your inner voice. No. Hold fast to what? That which is good. What is good? The voice of the Holy Spirit exalting God's word. It can happen in any of us, right? It can happen in any of us. That we, in any of these ways, we're a Christian, we're saved, but we begin to quench the Spirit, to smother it because of our flesh, or because of a substitute, or because of our own pride wanting to exalt our voice that needs to be lifted up. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20 says this, you know, for lack of wood, the fire goes out. And kind of points us to the opposite of what Paul is saying. Paul's saying, don't quench the Spirit. Don't despise the voice of the Spirit, right? Keep throwing wood on the fire. Keep putting wood on the fire. Where are you getting that wood? Folks, you're getting it in here. From the Word of God, you know what I mean? It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit living in me, but he wants to exalt the voice of God. Keep putting wood on the fire, right? Give me oil in my lamp, we used to sing. Keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, right? About, 50 years ago. Yeah, about 1973. I'm in the time frame. If my dad were sitting there, he might remember, might not, you know. But my dad had been on a journey. Before we ever, before I ever came to a real personal faith in Christ, my dad had been on a journey, you know, having been a churchgoer, and but searching and what you know, trying this sense of what's it all about, how does it fit into real life, and there was a small group of people in the church that we were in that were searching for more. And they formed this little prayer group, and they were, you know, kind of the you know, almost the blind leading the blind. Like we want to know more about God, and we want to. And there was a priest who was who said kind of appointed himself as the leader of the group, and a long time ago he was no longer a priest. He kind of was shaping the group into a cult. right? And separating people from their families, all that kind of thing. But my dad said, I remember at the time, because my dad was coming here at night, hearing Pastor Mitchell's sermons, and then trying to take them back to that group, and share the word. And at one time, my dad said, we're all praying. And this, leader of the group said, everybody stop. I have a word. The Holy Spirit has left this room. He's not here anymore. And my dad said, at that moment, I knew I need to go over to Emmanuel. And I need to get more of the word of God, because this guy is a false prophet. The Holy Spirit has left. You know what? Holy Spirit hasn't left. If you've placed your faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit is in you. But you may be smothering him. You may be smothering him. Don't quench the Spirit. Lord, I open my heart to your word. Keep the fire burning. Father in heaven, we come to you today and we just have such a desire to walk in the truth so that we may confidently love the lost. Lord, when we lose the truth, when we get away from the fire, when it dulls, we get intimidated, and we no longer are confidently loving the lost around us. We're trying to be accepted by them. Oh, Lord, we pray, tear away our substitutes and our flesh and our pride. Let us hear the voice of the Spirit. Keep the fire burning in us. You know our hearts, Lord. We need you. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us in such a powerful way that this whole South Jersey will be changed because of it. That's our prayer. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen.